As I was preparing for my sermon this week, I really struggled with a title. And the original title I was going to call this sermon was Why I Hate the Beatitudes. Now, I know that the Beatitudes are a lot of people's favorite scriptures. They like that list of blessings, but I've never liked them. And I think Luke's version with the blessings and the woes is even worse. Now, you may wonder why I, as a pastor, could hate these so. But I'm here to tell you, if there was not such a thing as election, if there was not a list of what we were, you know, called to preach on each week that forced me to look at the whole of the Bible, I think that I would never, ever preach a sermon on the Beatitudes. And the reason I would never, ever preach a sermon on the Beatitudes, and especially not on Luke's version of the blessings and the woes, is because these scriptures don't merely step on my toes. They run me over with a steamroller. I read these and I know that I don't make it in the blessings category. I mean, I am not poor. Now, I know that in our society, none of us like to think of ourselves as particularly rich because there's always more we want. And more we think we need. The gulf between enough and just a little bit more would be better is just so vast. It's pretty much, unless you're Bill Gates, you can always find somebody who's richer than you. And so we think that we're not all that rich. But when you compare us to the rest of the world, I am richer in material wealth than two-thirds of the people that live on this planet. Two-thirds. And I live in the kind of luxury with hot and cold running water. Can take a shower every day, morning and night if I want to, soak in the tub for hours. I can go to the refrigerator, and if I've actually taken time to go to the grocery store, have something wonderful to eat any time of the day. Store food I cooked 2 days ago and eat it. I have a warm house in the winter and a cold house in the summer. I have more clothes than I could wear in a month. I probably have more clothes than I could wear in a month for every season. I live in the kind of luxury that has been unheard of for centuries. I live in the kind of luxury that King Herod and King Solomon would probably have been jealous of. So that I know when I read this that says, "Blessed are you who are poor," they are not talking about me. Blessed are you who are hungry. Now, I really like to eat. I'll just tell you that right now. And if you ask my husband, the worst thing you can do is, you know, not get me food when I'm hungry. I get mean as a snake when I'm hungry. I understand it's one of the signs of being hypoglycemic, but of course I won't go to the doctors to be tested. I'm just like, give me my food now. I don't like to be hungry. I hate being hungry. And if dinner is a little bit late, you know, an hour past when I think I should have been fed, I start saying things like, oh, I'm starving, I'm famished. I need to eat now or I'm just going to pass out. But the truth is, I have never, ever, ever truly been hungry. I have never, ever had to go days without eating because there was nothing to eat. I have never, ever, even in the worst financial situations I've ever been in, wondered where my next meal was coming from. There was always at least peanut butter and jelly. Nope. When they say blessed are those who are hungry now, They are not talking about me. And blessed are you who weep. Well, there are times when that has been me. But I haven't been real excited about it, and quite frankly, I would rather be a little less blessed and weep a little less. How about all of you? I could go without being blessed because I was weeping. And what about blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you? I really don't like it when people hate me. These are some blessings I would very much be willing to miss out on. In fact, I think that, to be completely honest, I like it when people like me. I think it's important to be liked. Probably far too important. I like to be included. I like to be well thought of. And I sometimes think I mistake the job of being a pastor as my job is to have you all like me because I help you all feel better about yourselves. Well, you know, it's a nice thought. I know that it is really not talking about things I want to be blessed for when it talks about weeping and people hating me, and people excluding me, and reviling me, and defaming me. I really hate it when people talk ugly behind my back. I really hate it when people tell lies about me. And I really wouldn't mind missing out on those particular blessings. But you see, it just gets worse. Because then it starts saying, woe. Woe to you people who are rich. For you have already received your consolation. And I'm telling you, I know that materially I am very rich. And woe to you people who are full now, for you will be hungry. And I know I am one of those people who likes to have a full stomach at all times. And woe to you who are laughing. Laughter is very important to me. I'd much rather laugh than cry. And woe to you when all speak well of you, which I really think that too often, myself included, we really think that's the measure of success. Being rich, having a full stomach, having a good time, and everybody thinking well of us. We've made it. We're blessed. Isn't that the list of a blessed life? Isn't that what we're after? I really, really don't like those things being on the woe list, on the things to be avoided list, on the things that aren't going to bring you a happy time list. Because I'm a product of my culture. And our culture is really good at telling us those are the things we're supposed to want. It almost doesn't seem realistic to bypass those things, to not seek after those things, and to not care about them. I really think that this scripture this morning is calling for a kind of radical faith that my life does not reflect. Now, maybe it's because I've been reading a little bit too much of St. Francis lately, who really points out the call to poverty in the Christian faith and through the Gospels. But to me, it's really easy to sing, I want to be a Christian in my heart. I want to be holy in my heart. I want to be more like Jesus in my heart. But how many of you would like singing that song if it went, I want to be a Christian in my wallet? I want to be more holy in my checkbook. I want to be like Jesus in my closet. He had one good outfit. That was it. I want to be like Jesus in my closet. I would find that a whole lot harder to sin. I have to tell you, when I read this, I don't like it, because it calls me to a radical faith that my life does not reflect. Because I am rich and I am well fed, I enjoy laughter, and I really do seek to have people think well of me. You know, I might like this scripture a whole lot better if I was on the bottom of things, because it really does turn everything upside down. And my problem with this scripture is I'm already in the top third. So what happens when you turn it upside down? I end up in the bottom third. I don't think that's much fun. But I suppose that if I was in the bottom third, this scripture might have a lot more meaning for me. I started thinking about that, because Jesus did say that he came to turn things upside down. When Mary was told of the angel that she was going to have this son, the Son of God, the song she sang was a song of everything being turned upside down, the great being brought low. So perhaps this scripture would just mean a lot more to me, and I would feel a lot better about it if I was one of the downtrodden, one of the poor and hungry, one of the weeping, one of those who was being excluded and reviled and hated on the account of my Christianity. And in thinking about that, I thought about our sister church in Cuba. Now in Cuba, it is a place where things are just very different. The church is now allowed to function, and we have many churches in this conference who have made a relationship with a church in Cuba. And that church in Cuba prays for them, and they pray for the church in Cuba. And we send money down, and they have no money to send back. And another thing that happens is, ever so often, there are trips to Cuba. Now, very recently, some people in our district came back from Cuba. In fact, this is the third trip that I have gotten to talk to people who have come back from Cuba. And when they come back from having spent a week in Cuba with the Christians there, they are really struck by how different those people live. The average salary in Cuba is $10 a month. Can you imagine? It's absolute, you know, talk about being poor. I mean, there is no question. The people and the Christians in Cuba are poor. Many of the churches do not have bathrooms. Many of the parsonages do not have bathrooms. One of the people that went down there says, you know, one of the interesting things was using 52 different outhouses over the time that he had been there. It was not something he wanted to repeat. He said he really realized how much he likes his running water and indoor plumbing. They are just struck by how differently these people live, how less food they have. It's illegal to eat beef in Cuba because all the beef is for the tourists to be sold at high prices. So even if you raise your own cattle, you have to sell the beef. It's illegal to eat it yourself. They are a people who are hungry. They are a people who are poor. They are a people who have lots and lots to weep about. Their churches are falling down around their ears in many cases. They can't build any church that didn't exist before Castro is not allowed to build a new building. They are repressed and oppressed and hated and reviled and excluded for being Christian, in spite of the fact that being a Christian is no longer illegal. There are certain rights and privileges you give up to be a Christian. they are struck by all of those differences. But there's something else that everybody that goes to Cuba on one of these trips is struck by, and more so than these first sets of things. And that is how full the churches are. Not just full of people, but full of joy and full of the Holy Spirit. There is something amazing happening in the churches in Cuba. Most of them have 24-hour prayer vigils going on. There's always somebody in the church praying. Most of them are growing so fast, people can't even get in the building. Most of them are seeing miracles happen on a daily basis. Now, I really want to go see all this. But I don't have to know that it's true. Because all you have to do is look at the people who have just come back from Cuba. And it's like they have come down from the Mount of Transfiguration. I mean, they are glowing with the Holy Spirit when they come back. They have been so touched and so moved and so affected by what they have seen and been a part of that they just kind of float when they walk. I mean, it is amazing. It is just truly amazing. They may be poor, but they certainly do have the kingdom of God. And not just in the sweet by and by. I mean, they've got it now. These are people who are living heaven now. They may be physically hungry, but they are a filled people. They may have been weeping for all that they lost in Castro's Cuba. They may have been weeping for all that they lost in giving their life to Christ. But when you see them now, they do laugh. And they are not having to wait to heaven to receive their great reward for having been excluded and hated and reviled and defamed for their love of Christ. If you ask me, they're getting a great bit of that reward now in just how much they are enjoying their relationship with Christ. So, you know, maybe these woes about being rich, this warning about being full, this question about so much laughter, and this woe about people speaking well of us, is not so much that God is this great big bully in heaven going, you know what, you're having a good time now, so I'm not going to reward you in heaven. You're loved now, so yeah, you don't need my love. Maybe these are warnings to us, not because of anything God does, but because when we have these things, you know, when we're rich in material things, it's not that God doesn't give us anything else. It's that we think we have already got all that we need. We've already got our consolation. We got what we were after. Why would we seek for anything more? Maybe the poor are truly blessed because they know they have nothing but what they have in God. Maybe if I had a little less, I would depend on God a little more. And maybe the warning against being full of satisfaction, self-satisfaction, full of food, is once again that sense that we begin to think that's what it's about. And for those who are truly hungry, they know that their only filling will come from God. And maybe those who have truly wept can more appreciate the true joy of Christ. Why, we are so busy having such a good time, we miss the point about how much a more wonderful time can be had in the things of God. And maybe, just maybe, we, and this point I have to say especially I, get so wrapped up in what people think of us, because Christians have been well thought of in our country for so long, that we start to gauge whether we're doing the right things or the wrong things by how people react. If people react positively, we assume we're living right. If people react negatively, we think we better change things. Maybe, just maybe, the warning isn't because God hates it when people like us, but because when people speak well of us, we become addicted to it, and we start to think that's the gauge for whether we're doing the right things. We start to like it, and it starts to get harder and harder and harder to push ourselves outside of those comfort zones and speak the hard truth boldly. It gets harder and harder to say things like, you know what? It's great that your heart's converted, but if it doesn't convert your wallet, you need to be looking at your relationship with Christ. Ouch! I don't want to be saying that stuff. I don't want to be hearing it myself. It's not just your heart, it's your whole life. Ouch! Perhaps. Just perhaps. The woes are warnings. Not because these things are bad in and of themselves, but because we have a tendency to get so wrapped up in them, we forget what the real blessings are. Let us pray. Dear Lord, you are a wonderful and powerful and magnificent God. And I truly do want to be your servant. I truly do want to be a Christian in my heart and in my closet and in my wallet and in my stomach and in my refrigerator and in my car and in my daily work and relationships. But Lord, I'm going to need your help. Because I have gotten far too attached to the material things of this world, and I have forgotten the beauty of your blessings. I have gotten far too attached to feeling full instead of seeking fulfillment in you. And I have gotten far too attached to feeling joyful and fun because of what's going on around me, instead of finding my true joy only in you. And Lord, I know that I have become far too attached to what people think of me, far too controlled by what people say about me. And I need freed to care only about what you think. Lord, you've turned our world upside down in the coming of your Son. Turn my life upside down. Make me your captive, that I might truly be free. Amen.